We're glad to be saved for sure. Go to Ephesians. And go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, God, by design, when He wrote the book of Ephesians, was writing to everybody. I mean, this is a wide open book. And the thing that people don't understand, there's a strange philosophy in Christian that we have to keep the unity. That is, make the unity. Make sure that we're getting along with everybody. You know, the old Rodney King thing, can't we all just get along? We don't have to do that. The fellowship is in the truth. But I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Well, let's just read the other two verses. It's not much. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, and on and on. Now, the seven things there mentioned is the unity of the Spirit. Now, but hold on. There is a dilemma if you believe your Bible, that the body truth, that which is written to the church, and the catching out, and then you got Israel. This is Israel. And then you have the Gentiles, hope by blessing them to enter into the kingdom. And those that curse, into hell. Now, you can't read Ephesians chapter 4 and believe in one hope. You understand what I'm saying? It would be impossible to believe in one hope. Hey, gang. Just, you know what we call this, Alan? Musical chairs, brother, without the music. Hey, you know what you got when you got three beautiful women? Trouble. Trust me on that one. Oh, Lord. I think I will take another shot of that Diet Coke. It's working pretty good. I think I might be lit up for the rest of the day. This is brought to you by Diet Coke. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. There is no way that you can believe. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling, with that many callings on the board. Grab that on the board. With that many calling on the board, you can't get that. Because there isn't one. But there's one for the church. Y'all understand? There's one for you. Not one for everybody in the Bible. One for the body. And He's not trying to explain that there's one hope in the entire Bible. He's not trying to say there's one hope, and that's not the case. That is not what he's saying. Paul's saying, for you there's one hope. You, in the church, there's one hope. And that hope, by the way, is what? It's the rapture. The catching out. Okay? They're looking for a second coming. Their hope isn't the same. You know, look in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, well, before we grab Acts chapter 3, grab Acts chapter 2. Listen to the verbiage here. These cannot be the same hope. The hope for you, the church, and for the nation of Israel are two different hopes. Listen to this. Praising God, verse 47, Acts 2, verse 47. In fact, all repeated verses come by endorsement of Miss Hampton. She says, always repeat twice. So Acts 2, verse 47, my second repeat, in obedience to your wife. Praising, you want to know how to be married 30 years? Obey your wife. It'll work. Right, honey? Huh?
I claimed the fifth.
Okay and yes. Yes, yes. Nod, keep mouth shut. Yes, never do this. If she says except when she says, do I look fat in this? Don't say it because you know you'll be lying, but you know, just shake your head, no. Praising God, you get all kinds of instruction here. See, these young ladies will be all fixed up when they get ready to get married. Right? Praising God, Matt, are you paying attention, brother?
Oh, you got it.
All right. Hey, look.
Oh, you look fabulous.
Oh, yes. I look like I'm fat in this. No, you don't. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, that's not the same hope as Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. No way is this the same hope. People get all bent out of shape, but you can't make words mean what they don't. I heard that song. That was the saddest song. Have you ever heard that song? You can't make him love you if he don't. That's a fact. You know what you can't do? You can't make the Word of God fit your doctrine if it won't. What you need to do is just let it go and let it say exactly what it says. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, notice the repeat again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Shall be? Going to be? No. Are saved. That's a different hope. How can you be are saved and shall be saved at the same time? It's impossible, guys. I don't care how good you are at manipulating words, that'd be a little difficult. Go back to Acts 3, where we were originally going, and go to verse 19. A hope. See, Ephesians, we're not keeping them. We're trying to keep the unity which is already there. That we have a separate hope, a unique hope, something that they weren't anticipating. Verse 19, Acts 3, verse 19. Another good point of repeat. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the what? Well, they just, right here, that's where it is. And that matches Acts 2, verse 47. So you know what I put by Acts 3:19? Acts 2, verse 47 with my Bible pen. Look at wow, good brother. That's right, man. Y'all understand? I mean, these things, you've got to start matching them in your head. So then when you start to talk to somebody and they go, but there's only one hope in the Bible. There's one gospel. Well, then they're going to different places. You know what I mean? I bet you're glad you have me as your Bible teacher. I'm glad to be your Bible teacher.
Me too.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not fishing for anything. Go to 1 Peter. Now, I just want you to understand, I got challenged on Facebook and I won't even talk to this guy. There are idiots born every day. Women, my suggestion is don't marry one of them. Oh, if you marry a man, that's going to be impossible. Sorry. Do I have a witness? No. Gloria's being really quiet back there because she's just right around the corner of retirement. She doesn't want to mess anything up. What did you say? That is so strange. No. I see why. He's hanging his head a little bit low. He's learned the puppy view. No, I'm kidding. We love that couple back there. All right. I tell everybody, look, our whole church is on the verge of divorce and Brendan and I are on the rocks. And they go, what? Look, if you've ever been married, you're always on the verge of divorce. Don't you understand? That's marriage. If you were married, if you were single, you'd be wanting to get married. You'd be on the verge of getting married. It's like confusing to me. Look, if you will, in 1 Peter. Now watch this. This is interesting to me. Because this guy on Facebook puts out, oh, Peter and Paul preach the same gospel. All right, now I just want you to listen to this. I was going to read verse 10 first, but I think I'm going to do 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Notice the nice repeating there. For these other preachers that will be preaching for me occasionally, please practice repeating. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, for verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was a manifestation in these last times for you. Now, it talks about the blood of Christ there. Did Peter know the gospel of Christ? It wasn't about the gospel of Christ. You all understand, they had to have Jesus Christ die on that cross for them as well. But that wasn't a mystery. He did know that. But what did he know? He didn't know it was for sin and when. See, their atonement is at the second coming. You would think that we could afford markers. Huh? Hey, brother. Get on with it. That's what they said. That fountain was predicted back here. It wasn't part of a mystery program. It was part of a prophecy. In fact, Peter clarifies what salvation he's actually referring to in 1 Peter, which is fantastic. And then you don't have to be too brainiac. All you have to do is believe your Bible. Look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Well, I'm going to start in verse 7. Is that okay? You don't care where I start, do you? You start wherever you start, and we'll see if we end up in the same place. The trial of your faith. Now, we don't have any trials of our faith, but Israel will. It's called the time, I might just give you the hint of what that's called. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. That might give you a hint. I would put that in your Bible if I had a Bible pen. That the trial of your faith is Jacob's trouble. Israel's trial. They have got to go through a trial. They're going to be put on trial. Being much more than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Guess what appearing that is? That second coming. You might want to put that in there. I know you cameramen are dying to write these notes, but please don't try to do that and drive the camera. Stay steadfast. Steady as you go. Hand on the helm. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, not the beginning. We get our salvation at the beginning of our faith. You see that? It says at the end of your faith. You know what they have to do? Endure unto the end. You know what I'd put there? Matthew 24, verse 13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. I mean, this is the salvation that Jesus talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Well, were the prophets looking for salvation? Okay, when I go up on the end of a sentence, that usually means like a question. Were they looking for salvation? All right. Well, don't yell out from back there if you're going to have the wrong answer. Go to Luke. Well, let me show you. Go to Luke chapter 1. You may want to write that in there, by the way. You're going to want it when you flip back. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. See, Peter did believe in the blood of Christ, didn't he? Yes. He didn't understand it at first, but after the Lord explained it to him, he got it. Hey, very important that they had that blood. Could they make it in to eternity without the blood? No. Say no.
No.
No. They couldn't make it in any better than Joe Blow. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. You got it? For anybody. Body, Israel. But look what he said in Luke chapter 1. Verse 68. Luke 1, 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. His people, and hath raised up a horn of for us. And well, where would he have got that from? Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 9. Very good.
So, Zechariah 13:1 is wrong?
Well, No, we're going to turn there too. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, that is his birth, and unto us a son is given, that's at the cross. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be what? Upon the throne of who? David. You see that? Israel. And upon his kingdom to order and establish it. Was that for the entire world? No, it's for Israel. Look at the attitude of Zechariah, where Miss Jean wanted to go really bad. And if you don't know where Zechariah is, go to Matthew and back up toward the front two books, and you'll find it. So go to Matthew and back up two books, and you'll look intelligent. You might not even just look. Larry was worried about his looks only. But you may really be intelligent. In Zechariah 13, verse 1. In Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the entire world and everybody on the planet. No, for the house of who? David. Just like in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Just like in Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and 69. It's clear who this salvation was for. For sin and for what? Uncleanness. You see that? They were always promised forgiveness. But just like their sacrifices, they would come in at Passover and they would offer the lamb. And then there would be months and months, and then there's the Day of Atonement. That Day of Atonement is when the blood is applied. Guess what? The Passover lamb sacrifice, second coming, guess what? The blood is applied. You got it? That's what they expected. And because they hadn't gotten to the blood, if they screwed up along the way, guess what? They were lost. Got it? I mean, if they messed up along the way, Katie barred the door. If they sin willfully, there remaineth what? No more sacrifice. So they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, endure, keep the commandments, do all these things to get to the blood. If they don't get to the blood, guess what? They're lost. That is everything. But for you in the church, the blood applied immediately. The blood is over the church. You're not waiting for a Day of Atonement. You're not waiting for that prophecy. There is a mystery involved in yours. Remember, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Yes. Well, that's what we're kind of preaching on today. And the reason why is there are two different what? Hopes. Remember, what is the time of the 7 years after the rapture of the church? Jacob's trouble. And it is the what? Trial of their faith. What do they have to do? Be faithful unto the end, which means they had to what? Die so they could be born again. You got it? Not us. Israel. Okay? Now listen to the terminology. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets... Well, could the prophets tell anything about your salvation? No, it was a mystery. It was a mystery. That is very important. This salvation, the prophets have inquired. We just read some of them. I could read more. You can look them up. But I would definitely put Luke chapter 1, verse 68, and that should lead you to Zechariah 13 and Isaiah 9, verse 6. I would definitely write that in my Bible. Take your time, steady your hand, make it a note. Now watch the end of this. This is where it gets tricky because they use terms and then terms get, because they sound alike, they must mean all the same thing. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The grace that was on you? Huh? Should come. That's a weird term. Hey, our grace shouldn't have come. It is here. It's here. We're indulging in grace. Look at Paul's attitude on this. Go to Romans chapter 11. Verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, hey, we're saved by grace, not should be grace or grace that's going to come on to you at the end. Hey, we've got it now. We have got the atonement. We have now received His grace. You're not walking in, I'm hoping I'm going to get to that fountain. Deep and wide, there's a... I know you're thinking, that's really good singing, aren't you? You know, and that deep and wide song had never... I mean, we teach that to all our little kids and they love it. Deep and you know, they try to sing, I like the little boys, they go, deep and wide, you know. And on, the woman's going, deep and wide, you know. And so it kind of sounds cute with kids, but it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with a fountain that's going to open for Israel and their hope. See, there's two different hopes. God's not trying to save everybody in one hope. God's got one direction for the church, one for the nation of Israel. And when people start to get that in their mind, they can start to relax from the things that they heard under the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John their whole life. And I don't know, some of you probably are going, phew. I did a thing on prayer, unanswered prayer, and then we're going to deal with what Paul says about prayer. On the Monday night class, if you guys can't get tuned in, you can tune in, and Miss Hampton maybe will write the address, and you can watch us Monday night, and all the believers up there, and we would love to have you fellowship with us on Monday night on the web. And so write that on the board in the break. Well, you could write it now. We could watch it. That would be interesting.
I'm going to make sure I got it right. Just a minute.
Well, yeah, don't put it up wrong. All right, well, she's thinking. We'll shoot an email out. If you are not on our email list, you can join us at PastorHampton@gmail.com, is that it? No, that's not it. Stop. GraceBibleChurch@knowledge.net. You can reach us anywhere on the World Wide Web through that email. If you want to talk about Wayne, don't send it there. He gets to read that too. Send it to my private, which is Pastor Hampton. No, I'm just kidding. Romans 11, verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. And he says, and if by grace, and it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 2, a familiar verse. You guys could probably quote it in your sleep. Verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. All I'm trying to tell you is, hey, grace has come upon you. You're not waiting for the grace that should come unto you. Bless God, I've got grace right now. In Ephesians chapter 2, read with me, if you will, in verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hey guys, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to come up with some mustard. You don't have to... Well, I could have said mayo, I guess. You don't have to muster up nothing. You don't have to do anything, guys. It's already been done for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. By believing that, righteousness is given to you or imputed to you. And it's not even your righteousness. It's His righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. As in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. See, guys, if you start to realize that the grace of God is a different program than that of Israel, you will do yourself 100%. If you go to a church that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to start getting confused. Why isn't God doing this? I want to go back to that unanswered prayer for just a minute. You know, it says in John 14, if you'll ask anything in My name, I will do it. I know that for a fact that that doesn't work. Because if I could have put my little son back together, I'd have put him back together. I promise you. I guarantee you there's prayers that don't get answered all the time. And it didn't say, you know, at the class it was kind of cute because some of them started saying stuff like, "Well, I sometimes get them answered." It didn't say that. That's not what the verse said. So all of a sudden you're having to adjust the verse because it doesn't work for you. You know what I mean? Thank you, brother. Carlton sent me the link just in case. Miss Brenda says she does have it. She's a fan of Carlton. He calls her up and gets her connected to the web and helps out. He does a great job. We really appreciate him. But you all understand, it didn't say, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it occasionally. It didn't say that. Say, well, I don't know if God meant what He means. Then why would God have said it? See, the whole thing comes down to, my job isn't really anything great. It's to get you to believe your Bible. And if you prayed ever and He never answered it, then that verse is a liar. And especially if you said, in Jesus' name. How many times do you pray and you go, in Jesus' name, and it doesn't come to pass? Well, if John 14 is true, then God's a liar. Amen? That's all there can be. Or there's a different dispensation going on. Now that could answer the problem. Well, when you start to see the two hopes and you separate them, and we're going to go over Paul's prayer. Hey, Paul didn't get every prayer answered. He sought the Lord three times on one thing. I mean, he's concerned. I mean, you know, I prayed one time about one thing and, you know. But when you start to pray multiple times during the week, like I know Larry had been praying for a job for a year. It didn't come about. What a ripoff artist God is. And then all of a sudden it came in and said, well, see, it's just God's time. Oh, you forgot to ask for money. You got a job, but no money. Oh, that's good. You all understand? Mess. But you're saved by grace. Not for the grace which the prophet said should come unto you at the end. No. We're not talking that. You got it? Go back to 1 Peter. So I believe that Peter believed in the blood. He just believed it was going to pour out at the second coming of the same one that the prophets have inquired. Notice again, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Well, how could that be if Paul meant what he said? Go to Romans 16. There's just a little bit of a problem here, guys. How could this be the same one that the prophets had talked about? Verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. What did he say? All of us. The 12 and me included. Why did he use the word my? He only uses that, by the way, how many times? Three times. Once here. Anybody know where the other one is?
Romans 2:16.
Romans 2:16. Write that down in your Bible. And there's one last.
2
Timothy 2:8. Write those in your Bible. There's only three times mentioned. It's the gospel that Paul got. That was a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the... Well, how could the prophets be talking about it if it was a... That doesn't even make sense. So see, in 1 Peter, even though there was some sounding like grace, there's a lot that has nothing to do with grace. Will it still be grace when they get to that blood? Buddy, I guarantee you they'll think it's grace. Amen? But it ain't the grace that you've got. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse, everybody knows these people up in Kentucky are keen on this. I mean, this is the key. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a... You know where I'd put there? Romans 16, verse 25. That's what I'd write in my Bible. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before, not from, before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, the what? The mystery of verse 7. They would never have crucified the Lord of glory. So did Jesus Christ teach this mystery in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
No. Was it back here with the... Old Testament? No, because if they had known it, they would not have what? That was kept secret. So until the world began... So now you've got this church started with a mystery that they didn't know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Israel getting saved according to prophecy back here, right? And that was all according to all the prophets, Zechariah 13. All of a sudden, two hopes. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 in our last few minutes. Ephesians chapter 4. I don't think you like the repeating. That repeating's boring them, I think. I think we ought to let them guess where we're going occasionally. What do you think, Brenda? Ooh. Ooh. That doesn't come up often. Yes, ma'am?
I'm thinking it's good to repeat it because...
But you're not my wife, I'm afraid.
That's true.
She trumps everything. It is like we had voting rules in our house. The kids all got one. Brenda got 51, and I got 99. So no matter what case we were in, we could always win. Well, I guess we would need 53 on your part. All right. There were three kids, so if they all voted the other way, we'd be in trouble.
Does that
add up to
us? Huh? Does that add up to
us? No.
One.
Arizona is on live finally. Woo! Way to go, Leonard. I'm sorry, I got excited. We got Joe Glenn and Leonard watching over in Arizona. All right, look at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your what? Now, that one hope of the calling is different for the church, the body of Christ, as it is for Israel. He's not saying try to make them all mix and keep the unity. He's saying for the church, the body of Christ, you keep the one hope. Don't get it confused. Don't let people pull you off and think of something else. And we're going to talk about the rapture just a little bit. And I do believe it is preeminent. I believe, and I'm not a false prophet, I believe it will be within people's lifetime in this room. I do. I believe sooner than later, and we're going to talk about that hope in a little more detail compared to that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what people say is the rapture. So you all take a break.